Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The way schools are funded in Missouri is complex and, according to some critics, not without certain flaws. We will take a closer look in just a couple of minutes. But first, farmers markets. Some call them a growing movement. They have come into their own in locally and almost 40 are scattered around our area. Perhaps the best known is the oldest, the Soulard Farmers Market. It's been around for more than 200 years. Most of the others have sprung up in the last decade and a half, giving people new options on how they buy and consume locally grown goods. We're talking about this trend and what it means on today's program. Joining me are Annette Beach. She's the market manager at the Tower Grove's Farmers Market. She's been involved with that market since it opened just over 10 years ago. Chris Jarigi volunteers with the Ferguson Farmers Market, now in its 14th year of operation. And Dave Teese co-owns Teese Farms, which has been in operation for five generations. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you,
Don. This is generally considered harvest time. Does that mean it's a much busier time for you, Dave? You're out in the fields?
Well, you know, since we're a fruit and produce farm, we harvest throughout the season. So we are harvesting, well, pumpkins, of course, now. But when you hear of the harvest time, you're thinking more of the grain farmers. So, you know, we harvest every day from April through November, really.
No wonder you look so relaxed.
Yeah, not relaxed, tired.
Annette, how about you? Is it a busy time at Tower Grove?
It is busy right now. We have tons of pumpkins, like he said. We have the winter squash, acorn squash, all that. And the farmers are always busy. Like he said, they're always picking their produce right before market and making everybody happy with all the wonderful stuff that they have to sell.
How about you, Chris?
We do pretty well toward the end of the season, and we're wrapping up in October. Tower Grove goes into November. So we do have some farmers that still have produce throughout the entire season. But some of our other smaller vendors wrap it up. Some of our crafters, some of our dry good people have a tendency to kind of fall off toward the end of the year as attendance goes down. But we always still have good crowds, and the vendors seem to be real happy with what they have.
Well, before we get on to some other things, because you're the Ferguson Farmers Market, how are things there? I mean, obviously, it's been well documented what's been going on there for the last year and a half.
I think things are generally good. I mean, my experience, actually, it's kind of a fun story, is that I lived in Ferguson. I grew up in North County, but I had lived in Ferguson, owned a house just a couple of years ago, and had just recently moved back. So my views were a little bit from you know, living in the city, but I still participated every Saturday at the Ferguson Farmers Market and also was a volunteer at a lot of the other events and things going on. It keeps moving forward. We have some new developers doing some projects. We have our FYI initiative still up and running. A lot of good things are still happening in Ferguson. Attendance at the market's a little slower than it has been in previous years, but the end of the season, typically, there's so many festivals and things going on. People are real busy.
The end of last summer, did it business drop off?
At the end of last summer, unfortunately, we did shut down a month early just with everything going on. Yeah. It just seemed like the appropriate thing to do at the time. It tapered off. You know, we were always excited to get back up and running in May, and we do a winter's – well, there's an additional market in the winter at St. Stephen's Church, so people can still come and get goods and produce and stuff
like that. It's good to hear that things are coming back.
They are. They definitely are.
And this whole farmer's market phenomenon is called a growing movement. Do you see it that way?
No, I don't. Since I was young, we've always – either grown our own produce or we've bought it at like Trek Farms is what they used to call them. So as far as a growing movement, maybe a little more so in the city because there are more new farmers markets that are popping up and people want local fresh produce and the meats and cheese and that sort of thing. And the farmer's market's a great place to find that.
But you're not finding a big increase in traffic necessarily.
Oh, we've been really busy this last couple of years. We've started out 10 years ago with 13 vendors and maybe 500 customers on a Saturday. And now we have up to 60 vendors on a Saturday if we have a special event. and we can have 4,000 to 5,000 shoppers.
Well, that sounds like it's growing to me.
Yeah, it is growing at Tower Grove.
Good. Well, glad to hear that. Dave, from your perspective as the man on the farm, the farmer, what does this farmer's market movement mean to you?
Well, you know, of course, we're always looking for an additional market, you know, to get our product out. And we, on our farms, we do sell direct. We have farm markets at each of our farms. We've got 3 locations. So we've always been involved in the retail side of it. So it was kind of a natural step for us to become involved. Our north farm is by Ferguson. So we've been involved in the Ferguson Farmers Market for, I think, maybe 10, 11 years. And it's just an outstanding community event. We just enjoy it because of the community involved. Mm-hmm. You know, the volunteers, the core group in Ferguson, you can't say enough about them. They do such a good job. It's just an additional market for us. And we've been invited to probably 20 different markets. We get calls every year, and it's not an easy job to set up and do a farmer's market for a grower, and do it right. So we do the Ferguson market, and we do corporate markets. We do like a mobile market. We go to businesses. So in that sense, it is a growing thing for us.
But that's kind of a new twist, isn't it, the mobile market concept?
Yeah, we had several Express Scripts is right by our farm, so they're the first to approach us and ask us to come set up on a biweekly basis and sell in their cafeteria. And so we've done that, and we've probably done we do Build-A-Bear, we do Energizer, United Healthcare. So it's all, growing, another opportunity to get our name out.
And to get your goods to market. I guess it's easier now when you have so many local options as opposed to the way they worked before.
Yeah. You know, it used to, in St. Louis County, of course, at one time, even as soon as the 80s, there were quite a few number of substantial commercial vegetable farms, you know, probably 20 to 30. Now, as far as commercial farms, you know, we're probably talking maybe 5 that are of substantial size. And, back then we were, we were just very prone to the markets. And then that's when the California movement of bringing everything in and homegrown. We've always used homegrown as our niche. You know, that's what we specialize in. If you want good flavor, buy homegrown. That became not a big deal in the 70s and 80s. Everybody was so thrilled that California had product in here year-round that we kind of lost a little bit of our edge. And so when the local movement took hold, it's been a big benefit to us, yes.
And that you have a nursing background, is that correct?
Yes. I'm actually in nursing school right now, graduate in December.
Well, good. Congratulations to you for that. I wanted to bring that up because we talk about homegrown. Why is homegrown better? I mean, is homegrown healthier, I guess, is my question.
In my opinion, it is. Homegrown or local, it means that your produce is just picked. It's not put in a box and shipped on a truck or a train thousands of miles to get into your kitchen. You walk to the farmer's market on Saturday, fill your bags up, and you have fresh produce right at your hand. And nothing's better, like he said, than homegrown produce, right, especially tomatoes.
Now you're making me hungry at this lunchtime. Chris, are we reaching the saturation point, do you think, with farmers markets? There are about 40 of them, as I understand it.
I think it becomes highly competitive. I think you can only have so many markets being successful so many days of the week. And if you could spread that out throughout the week, I think that people have the opportunity to go to different markets at different times when they're available. But when you have, literally a dozen or more markets all operating on Saturday, you're not going to get the overflow from other communities coming down unless they know or they know there's something specific at those markets that they can't get at the market closest to them. Mm-hmm. But it's always nice to go enjoy all the markets. I mean, truth be told, you never know what you're going to find. And part of the charm, like even we were speaking about why farmers markets are so value important, is because people really do like to know they're farmers. Mm-hmm. They like to know where the food comes from. They like to talk to the farmers about the type of food that they're producing, what's coming up. And they like to know sometimes because they're being introduced to different fruits and vegetables they've never had before. So they get kind of an instructional view. They get to actually see it, and they actually get to talk to the actual farmer, which makes it a special thing. It's part of the charm and part of the reason why I'm so much involved in the farmers market, because it's a like David said, it's a community event. It brings people together. It's very much a placemaking thing for cities too. I think the more farmers markets we can have, the better. But when you have too many in competition, the smaller ones fall off. So, which is unfortunate. But there's always places for those vendors to go. So,
well, a couple have fallen off in recent years, haven't they?
Yeah, I think Ellisville. Maybe it just recently closed down. It's just one of those things. And being a volunteer, I can tell you this, that a market manager cannot do it all. You can't hire anyone, really, or too many people, because you're really not making any money. So it's up to the people in the community that are part of it to keep it going and thriving. I mean, our market, we have essentially one employee, which is the market manager. But other than that, we have a good 30 or 40 people that come in rotation. 6 o'clock in the morning, we set up our 30, 40 tents, tables, chairs, weights. And then at 12 o'clock noon, we shut down, and different people come from the community. Unfortunately, those as well, we could always use more, but that's what makes the market successful.
Do we have any sense, and anyone can answer this if they have the answer, any sense as to what the impact has been on the local supermarkets, the Deerbergs and the Schnucks and people like that? Is there any way of telling?
Yeah. That's a good
Dave?
Question.
We do deal with Schnucks pretty steadily, and it has forced their hand to promote the local product between Deerbergs and Schnucks. So it has definitely affected them. Dollar-wise, I'm not sure it has, but it has affected their thinking for sure. And, you know, we've dealt with Schnucks, and they're a great company. The local, you know, the family, our family's known their family for years, and they are a good company to deal with. But they definitely have, in recent years, put us on the forefront, whereas before we were almost a side note, and they always kind of worked with us but never promoted us, and definitely they're doing that now.
They're doing it now. Locally grown is a big issue. Did you want to add something to that, Annette? You look like you're...
Well, I wanted to add something to the relationship the shoppers have to the farmers. It is a big thing at our market. I know there's lines at many of the booths because customers are asking questions. They are wanting to know more about where their food comes from. And it's a relationship between the farmer and the shopper. And I think that's very important. And like he said, definitely local grown produce has impacted the area of grocery stores.
Well, I'm going to leave it at that for the moment. I have to take a break. We'll do that and come back. We're talking about farmers markets and their impact locally. And my guests in studio are Annette Beach, from whom you just heard, Chris DeRigi. He's with the Ferguson Farmers Market. Annette is with the Tower Grove Farmers Market. And Dave Teese co-owns Teese Farm. We'll be back to continue the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-8255. Talk. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you prefer to send us a tweet, do so at STL on Air. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Annette Beach, Chris Jarighi, and Dave Tease. Chris, let me go to you with regard to the customers. Who are they, and how sophisticated are they in terms of knowing what they're looking for with the produce?
It really varies. There's a variety of people that come that are foodies that, you know, they're super involved and wanting to know everything they can possibly know about the food that they're ingesting and how to prepare it, the taste, the flavors, and all that stuff. And some people are hesitant. They just go for what they know. So, you know, you go for the corn, they go for the tomatoes, they go for the peppers and stuff like that. So it's always nice when you can get somebody to try something, because sometimes some of the farmers actually will give out little samplings of something. Hey, would you like to try this? And then they can get them into a conversation. Mm-hmm. Once they can get them into the conversation, it's almost like selling a TV. Once you start talking to them, you can get them nice and comfortable with you. They're more likely to try something and take something home and prepare it in the way that they were suggested. But yeah, some people know what they really, you know, hardcore, and there's certain things that we do offer our vendors that are only there certain times of the month or only there seasonally. And if they can't get to their stuff when they can, they get kind of upset, you know. Typically some of the fruits and stuff like that as they come in season. Peach season is huge. People want to come and get their peaches. There's a mushroom season, I guess, that comes, and we have a new mushroom vendor. And they're super excited when they're there, and when they're not there, they want to know why. So I think there are very sophisticated people that come to farmers markets because I think they're a little more health conscious, and they really care about what they eat. Not that the ones that go to the grocery stores don't care, but the people that come to farmers markets are a little more attentive, I say, on making sure they get what they're actually, you know, get the proper stuff that they're looking for.
And Annette Beach, you're nodding in affirmation
yes,
throughout all that.
Joe Ringhausen Orchard, he was not at one of our markets a couple weeks ago, and I bet I had 100 people ask me, where's the apple cider? So when Joe's not there, people know it. So and we do have hardcore customers. There's a lady every Saturday. I'm the one that's there first in the morning to get the vendors in their spots. She sits in her car and waits until everyone's set up, and she's the first person there every week. And rain or shine, they're there with their umbrellas. They're wet. They don't care. They show up. They want their stuff.
Sure. Dave, when you're not selling produce at farmers markets on the days that they're open, what are you doing with regard to distribution?
Well, we do, like I said, each of our locations, we have a farm market. So we stay busy every day. We're open 7 days a week.
7 days, okay.
Yeah. And then we do a fairly large portion of our revenue comes from wholesale to Schnucks and Produce Row and food service companies. So that's been a big increase also as a food service because of the local restaurants went local.
Answer this question for me, if you will. It's somewhat touchy, and that's with regard to the financial arrangements you have with markets. How is the money shared, for instance? How is that broken down?
Well, I can only speak of Ferguson because that's the only market that we, you know, we just pay a stall, you know, for our tent. We probably are a little bit larger than some. We have two tents, and then we also do an extra area. Because we do quite a bit of plants and flowers also. But when we do our corporate markets, they just are inviting us in as their guest.
So basically the way it's done is it's a fee situation. You pay for the space, but if you sell a pumpkin, you get all of the proceeds?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the way it works at
yes,
Tower Grove
exactly.
as well?
Mm-hmm.
In Ferguson, yes.
Yeah.
I have heard of other markets in other areas, though, not necessarily specifically St. Louis, where there is like a fee or it's based on total sales. So it's a way for the market to actually generate some monies because some markets, you know, basically are through fundraising like Tower Grove or out different sources of funding. It's for operating costs. So, but I have heard of that in other cities. I just don't think they do it here in St. Louis.
There are a list of reasons why farmers markets are an advantage to a community. And one of them is that it's an economic advantage. Mm-hmm. What is the economic advantage? Chris?
Me personally, I think the economic advantage is like once I'll bring it up again, it's a placemaking kind of thing. It brings people to your city. And while they're there, they might go to a local restaurant. They might go to a local business.
There's a ripple effect.
There is a ripple effect. Uh-huh. And that's, once again, I think, which is great for towns that do have the farmers markets. And even the ones that have them in the evenings, because it's probably a little bit more overflow for people to go to different restaurants and stuff like that. But one thing about Ferguson Farmers Market is because we have live food, we have our fresh food that's made actually at the market from either community vendors or we have some outside vendors that come in. And then we have live music. We really encourage people to not just come and get fruits and vegetables. We encourage them to come and enjoy our community, be a part of it. We have like a picnic table kind of center that's in the middle of the market. And people sit down and enjoy, you know, a meal with different people, not necessarily, you know, complete strangers. And they strike up a conversation because they have a common interest. The farmer's market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it allows them sometimes to even say, hey, what are you eating there? Or what did you get there? Where'd you get that? Because mm-hmm. People have blinders on when they go to the farmer's market, too. I think
name's Annette.
Annette. Oh. Annette can attest for when a market, when somebody at one of our farmers or one of our vendors gets moved to another place,
oh, yes.
They freak out.
Yes.
Because they say, people won't find me. You know, and it's only in a small area, but people are so... They know what they wanted to go, and they go right to it. But it is amazing that people get upset sometimes for the smallest detail when they just have to point over there. They're right over there.
We moved one of our produce farmers from the front of the market to the maybe 4 or 5 stalls back, and people didn't even know they were there. So definitely they shop in a pattern.
Exactly.
I have a note here indicating that there's some trading that goes on. Now, what is that all about? Is this a barter kind of thing?
Well, farmers or vendors trade with each other. One of our vendors is companion at the end of the market. He takes his leftover bread and goes to each booth and offers bread for produce or whatever, and if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. But yes, vendors trade vegetables for meat or apples for cheese. It's yes, there's definitely a barter system.
Dave, do you get in on that as the farmer?
I think we have a little bit. We don't look for it, but if some of the other vendors, it becomes, you know, like Chris said, it's so community oriented. Even, you know, the other growers or the other vendors, you just get to know them. And there's things that you look at and go, wow, that's good looking.
What do you do when the market closes down at the end of its prescribed time? You've got a bunch of pumpkins or tomatoes or whatever.
Well, we're fortunate enough that we bring it back to one of our locations. And if the quality is still good, we work it through our markets right away. So hopefully there's not a lot of loss there. But that is an issue because produce is so perishable. And on some of the hot Saturdays, if you don't just gauge it properly when you bring too much, when you bring it back, there is a definite loss.
Are there area farmers who are not involved in farmers markets?
I would think there are, yes.
You think you're better off than they are? Do you think they're... Do they struggle a little bit more, perhaps?
It's hard to say. It just depends how their marketing is set up. You know, and we resisted at first when Ferguson opened. We resisted because our farm is only 3-4 miles away from the market, and we thought, well, you know, what good is it for us to go down there? We want people to come to our farm.
You sold directly on your farm
prior
to this.
Yes. At 3 locations. So, like I said, we're probably a little bit more unique situation than some of the growers that are there. Yeah. But, it definitely takes a lot of planning and a lot of effort to really do a good job.
Right.
So we got to take a good look. And like I said, we've had a lot of inquiries to be at other markets. And, you know, I guess we just are loyal to Ferguson because we've done there. We enjoy it. We think they've done a great job through the years. But going back to a question earlier, I think there is a saturation point for markets because there are only X amount growers in the area. Yeah. And, I think you can kind of thin the quality quite a bit if it gets too saturated.
You think we're close to it now?
I do myself, yeah. Yes.
Really? Everybody here at the table
I think so.
If the farmers aren't making money, then
Right. They're not going to.
Yeah, they're not going to come.
That's sure. That's the way the system works, isn't
right.
it?
Right.
I'm going to take a very quick call. Our time is running out, but I bring in Dana from North County. Dana, make your comment or question quick, please.
Sure. I would just like to, first of all, give a shout out to the Ferguson Farmers Market. It really does rely upon a lot of great volunteers who have sustained the challenges the last year or so. And I think one of the greatest benefits of the local markets is that, you know, you're having access to locally grown foods supports your local commerce, local families, local farmers. And really, it increases health benefits, too, because you're eating fresh, locally
sure.
grown food.
Sure. We've touched on that subject. I'm sorry to cut you off, Dana, but our time is getting away. We only have about a minute left. A final thought very quickly from you, Chris?
Come to the Ferguson Farmers Market. We run through the end of October every Saturday from 8 to noon.
Nice commercial. You say you're a radio fan. You've obviously been listening. Thanks.
Thank you, Don, for having
Thank
us.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Annette.
Tower Grove Farmers Market, we're there Saturday 8 to 12:30 until November 14th, and then we're inside at City Garden Montessori.
All righty. And very quickly, Dave.
Well, I think maybe, you know, we know the farmers markets are great. We need to keep promoting healthy eating and the use of good local grown produce. I think it's very important.
This is a good way to do it, too.
Yes.
Thank you all so much. Annette Beach of Tower Grove Farmers Market, Chris DeRigi of Ferguson Farmers Market, Dave Tease of Tease Farm. And coming up, we'll take a close look at how Missouri school funding works. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.